This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm News Director Lauren Gallagher. Thank you for joining us. Tonight, our top stories are about Hunger for Justice Week, the Environmental Club's fundraiser, and writers from the Creative Writing Conference. Later, we'll hear the most recent economic developments with Joshua Frankevich in the Business Beat and listen to an up-and-coming artist with music director Sam Zavada. We'll also get the weather for the next few days. Hunger for Justice Week is King's take on National Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week, which benefits local nonprofits and helps those in need. The events for the week continue with the Storied Streets screening and the Student Food Pantry Collection. WRKC's Pat Corcoran reports further with upcoming events.
This week, King's College is shining a light on the global issues of hunger, poverty, and homelessness with Hunger for Justice Week. From November 12th to the 18th, King's Dining and the Cheval Center are organizing 11 different events to help local nonprofits demonstrate solidarity with people in need and educate the community about the reality of poverty. Mara Madrovsky, coordinator of Serve and CBWS at the Cheval Center, talks about the event's origins.
It came into existence because it's actually part of a national effort through a campaign called Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week, which is a student-led campaign against hunger and homelessness. I've just been at King's, this is my fourth year, and it's been going for quite a few years.
Over the years, Hunger for Justice Week has cycled through various events, but participation and enthusiasm has increased over time. Madrovsky speaks on the variety of events offered throughout the week and the response she's seen over her past 4 years at King's.
We try to offer a bunch of events during the week to get students involved in a couple different levels. So it depends from year to year on the events that are being offered. We try to switch them up, do some things that are more popular to keep them going. So this year, instead of one day volunteering at the CEO Thanksgiving food distribution, we did two. The response for that has been fabulous. We also have events like Candlelight Vigil for those suffering from homelessness. I already have quite a few people signed up for that. Oxfam Hunger Banquet. The participation in that kind of varies from year to year, but it looks like this year we should have some good numbers. And then a new event this year is a screening of Storied Streets, which is a documentary by Susan Sarandon's son, who went from city to city across the U.S. to kind of put a face to those suffering from homelessness.
So far, Hunger for Justice has already hosted a few events this week. This past Sunday featured the CEO Thanksgiving food distribution, where volunteers helped families in need by distributing Thanksgiving food bags. In addition to last Sunday, the 19th of November has been dubbed Undie Sunday, during which students can donate new socks and underwear in the collection box outside the Chapel of Christ the King throughout the week. Madrovsky gives a rundown of events taking place over the next few days.
Throughout the week, we still have ongoing is the Waste Not program with Chartwells. They're measuring food waste, and we're hoping that day by day, the food waste will go down. Wednesday, we have the Candlelight Vigil at 8 o'clock, and then Taizé Prayer at 8:30 p.m. Thursday night, we have the screening of Storied Streets. Friday is food collection for the student food pantry. And then Saturday, we'll wrap things up with the volunteering to help hand out food for the CEO Thanksgiving project.
Madrovsky urges people to lend a hand to their community and check out what Hunger for Justice Week has to offer.
Pretty much everybody in their life probably has met someone that has suffered from hunger and or homelessness. And, you know, it's definitely a chance for you to either learn more or to do a little more in your community. I would love if everybody would come out and, you know, take part in at least one of the events and see what it's all about.
For WRKC News at 5, I'm Pat Corcoran.
The Environmental Club's fundraiser was designed to aid California wildfire victims by rebuilding the Santa Rosa Community Health Center, which endured roughly 60% in damages from the fires. WRKC's Brian Jones brings us the details.
In the spring of 2016, the Environmental Club began selling Nalgene reusable water bottles to combat plastic waste that accounts for over 30 billion plastic bottles being wasted. This year, the fundraiser took a more personal turn when club member Gabby Longchamp found out the health facility her aunt worked at in California burnt to the ground. Half of the proceedings this year will go towards rebuilding the Santa Rosa Community Health Center, which lost 60% of its capacity. The fire caused the displacement of over 50,000 patients. The Santa Rosa Community Health Center, which was the largest campus, is now finding difficulties taking care of the patients due to a loss of room. Longchamp talks about why they chose Nalgene bottles and how she found out about her aunt and the effects that it had on the community.
We are selling Nalgene water bottles, and half the proceeds are going to help rebuild my aunt's health clinic in Santa Rosa, California, because it was burnt down by the wildfires there. We're an environmental club, so we just like to reuse water bottles instead of using the plastic ones. We always like to sell the water bottles. That's what we do for our fundraiser every year. When the fires happened, we contacted her because we knew it was her area, and it was actually one of her health clinics burnt to the ground. And she's working in other ones and helping patients who are burn victims, and now a lot of them are having lung infections from the smoke.
The bottles will be sold in the Sheehy Farmer Campus Center from the 16th to the 21st from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. The bottles are being sold for $8 and are available in a variety of colors such as turquoise, green, brown, orange, blue, and pink. You can also donate directly to Santa Rosa at srhealth.org. And for WRKC News at 5, I'm Brian Jones.
The community of creative writers came together last week.
Our program director, John Flynn, interviewed writers who presented their work at the Creative Writing Conference this past week. This is the second edition of his three-part series that feature the writers.
Came together last week for the second annual Creative Writing Conference organized by the King's College English Department and the Campion Society. You listened to some touching tales from King's readers on Monday. Now we hear from four more today. Today you will listen to more witty writing, beginning with junior Jill Patton, who wrote The Infinite Infant and the Old Man in Space, a creative nonfiction piece that explores how kindergartners view huge numbers.
Yeah, well, all those numbers are just 100 with other numbers added to it, he spluttered. 100 is like the base of all numbers. By then, no one was paying attention to Robbie and his nonsense about adding because a question crept into our minds. Finally, Annie asked what everyone was wondering. If 100 isn't the biggest number, then what is? It must be 1,000, CJ said. But what about 10,000, Paige suggested. But 1,000,000 is bigger than both of them, Matt pointed out. The whole thing unraveled as everyone shouted out the biggest number they could think of. 1,000,000,000. 7,000,000,000. 1,000,000,000,000. 1,000,000,000,000, Paige shouted. Oh no, Paige, 1,000,000,000 is not a real number. It's just made up, Annie said, patting Paige's shoulder. Poor Paige, duped by the myth of 1,000,000,000.
Junior Amy Higgins wrote a creative nonfiction piece called Passing Through, which looks at how people prepare for events that seem inevitable.
Tomorrow this lot will most likely be crowded with cars, each one bearing the weight of its family and their picnicking supplies. Trunks will be emptied of their contents, fishing bowls and tackle boxes, inner tubes, brightly colored bags stuffed with towels and sunblock, folding aluminum chairs with gaudy striped nylon seats, coolers of cold drinks and travel-sized hibachi grills, like the one my dad used to cook our burgers on. I throw the car in park, remembering how our day trips to this creek always appeared impulsively planned. Sometimes the impromptu announcement came the night before, sometimes the morning of. My parents always seemed in a rush as they cobbled together supplies. My father and older brother took charge of the fishing gear, inner tubes, charcoal, and grill. Mom was in charge of the coolers, one for food, another for beer.
Junior Sean Maloney's creative nonfiction work, Brothers, discovers what a sibling rivalry is in his eyes.
I was a hyperactive, sugar-fueled child who did not want to sit still. This troubled my parents, seeing as I had a propensity to escape from car seats and dance around in the back seat while going 80 down the interstate. Their solution was a simple one: duct tape. My solution was simpler: magic. I would escape from however they attempted to restrain me, leading my father to give me the nickname of Houdini Baby. I was, as any young boy was, wanting to impress their older brother. Musical lessons were too taxing and too attention demanding for me, so I started to sing. I wanted my brother to notice. I wanted him to tell me I was good. I wanted him to be proud to call me his brother. I never got that satisfaction as a child, but it's okay. I stopped caring after a short time.
Junior Pat Corcoran capped the student session off with a work called More Like Me, which is a humorous struggle based on his part-time job.
Some of our grayish blue but not obvious gray blues enjoy long walks on the beach and reruns of MASH. I want to make sure you leave with the perfect color, sir. Of course, that response didn't make it past my lips, despite how hard the words battered against them. In actuality, I picked the card that could roughly satisfy his demands and basically tricked him into believing it was what he needed. This was not a malicious act, it was what he needed done to him, he just didn't know it. Usually, you can convince people in these color consultations by beating them down with vague uses of words like reflection and light levels and explaining that the human eye is fundamentally garbage. Thanks for your help, because I tell you, my wife will shoot me if I mess this up, the man said. Tell her to save a bullet for me, I replied. To myself, as I smiled and said, no problem. Needless to say, I subscribe to the philosophy of faking it, regardless of whether or not I eventually make it.
Stay tuned on Friday for the final part of our three-part series dedicated to the community of creative writers, in which you will hear creative horror stories and some comedy. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Program Director John Flynn.
Coming up next, we'll hear a new artist spotlight, and we'll get a business beat update.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
WRKC, the area's oldest non-commercial radio station, aims to keep its airwaves alive and lively with its genre-bending playlist and award-winning news stories. Radio Kings College keeps it original, interesting, and cool. So like and follow us on Facebook at 88.5 to catch up with our current events and call in for a request at 570-208-5821 or reach us at wrkc@kings.edu.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
Hello, this is Joshua Frankevich with your King's Business Beat, the U.S. in review. According to the International Energy Agency's annual energy forecast, the United States leads the world in oil and gas production. International energy markets are set for a major upheaval as the U.S. cements its status as the world's largest oil and gas producer, while China overtakes it as the biggest oil consumer. The IEA believes that global energy demand will rise 30% by 2040, driven by higher consumption in India. The IEA expects the U.S. to account for 80% of the increase in global oil supply until 2025, driven by increases in shale. This will keep prices down and help the U.S. become the largest net exporter of oil in addition to gas by the late 2020s. The proposed Republican tax reform bill will include repeal of Obamacare's individual mandate requiring most Americans to have some form of health insurance or pay a tax penalty, GOP leaders said Tuesday. The decision means that Republicans yet again in 2017 will attempt to gut a key element of the Affordable Care Act. So far, such efforts have failed because not enough Republican senators have backed the idea of repealing the mandate, which would lead to an estimated 13 million more people lacking health insurance. However, it would also save the federal government some $338 billion over the next decade. Few economic readings have been posted in the last week, but the ones published pointed to a continuation of solid job growth, sky-high small business confidence, and steady consumer credit growth as spending remains elevated. Businesses around the country continue to rapidly hire in anticipation for the holiday season. Strong consumer spending has been encouraging small and large businesses alike. It will most likely be a very profitable holiday season after a number of years of lower than desired data. The Global Review. The European firm Airbus has struck its biggest single deal with an order for 430 aircraft worth $49.5 billion at list prices from U.S. investment firm Indigo Partners. Indigo, whose interests include Europe's Wizz Air, U.S.-based Frontier, and Mexico's Volaris, will buy Airbus A320neo family of aircraft. The order on the final day of the Dubai Air Show comes after what would have been a difficult week for Airbus. All owned airlines will begin to fly these new planes by 2020. HSBC, Europe's largest bank, has agreed to pay 300 million euros to French authorities to settle a long-running investigation into tax evasion by French clients. The French financial prosecutor's office claimed that HSBC's Swiss private banking unit helped clients evade tax. Payment of the fine will close the case against HSBC, but two former directors could yet face legal action. More than $1.6 billion of assets were involved in the scheme, according to a statement from the French financial prosecutor. The investigation started in 2014 after a former IT employee leaked data involving thousands of French customers. The Reserve Bank of Australia, at its meeting in Sydney earlier this week, held its cash rate unchanged at 1.50%, where it has been since August 2016. The accompanying statement said that inflation was likely to remain low for some time. As President Trump returns from his 10-day trip across Asia, which was designed to improve international prestige and alleviate current trade issues between the U.S. and its Asian allies, seems to have been a fruitless venture, according to many economists. Notably, the U.S. has been left out of a new TPP-style trade agreement between many Asian, North American, and South American countries that has been agreed to just before President Trump's visit. And this has been your King's Business Beat with Joshua Frankevich.
What's going on? This is Sam Zavada, the music director at WRKC, and you're listening to an Artist Spotlight. Tonight, we're going to hear from a band that's been on my Artist Spotlight radar for a few weeks now. What can you do? They're called Wolf Parade, and they got caught in the backlog of artists. But no more. As always, the sound is bumping, and now they've got their time in the sun. Their album is called Cry, Cry, Cry. Nice Johnny Cash allusion. And the three songs we'll be hearing are Lazarus Online, You're Dreaming, and Valley Boy. Lazarus Online, I received your message. You're a fan of mine. Your name's Rebecca, and you've decided not to die. All right, let's fight. Let's rage against the night.
Heard an artist spotlight based on a new band called Wolf Parade. If you enjoyed the selections tonight, make sure to always tune in to the WRKC News at 5 to hear the best music in college radio. I've been Sam Zavada, the music director at WRKC. Have a wonderful night.
And now for the weather. Tonight there's a chance of showers with a low of 42. Tomorrow will be scattered showers with a high of 49. And Friday will be mostly sunny with a high of 45. Professor of Theology Dr. Schumann will deliver a presentation entitled Jesus Among the Warheads, Nuclear Weapons and the Christian Just War Tradition in the Poshpak Room in the McGowan School of Business tomorrow at 12:30. The King's Theatre Department continues their production of Italian-American Reconciliation November 16th through the 18th at 7:30 p.m. in the Maffei Theatre. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm News Director Lauren Gallagher. Have a whimsical Wednesday.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.